The following is a recording of a live questions and answers session with Chris McCann that took place on Tuesday, September 8th, 2015.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a pre-recorded eBible Fellowship's questions and answers time. This program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this pre-recorded questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Tuesday night question and answer program. And tonight we're going to take a look at the Bible with any questions or comments that anyone may have. And each person is invited to share at any time by contacting us. And one of the ways we were just mentioned, we'll be glad to take your call. And I'll try to respond as much as possible by going to the Bible, as the Bible is God's holy word. But before we open up the program for questions, I'd just like to make a couple announcements. And first of all, please keep the track team that is traveling to Lima, Peru in prayer. Some are already there. Some are still en route. And if you could pray for the team and also for God's elect in that city, in that country, that the Lord would bless them. And we also are looking to go to Santiago, Chile on September 22nd through the 30th. Not sure if that's closed as yet, but if anyone's interested in going, you can send a note to ebiblefellowship@juno.com for more information. The other thing I'd like to mention is that we have a confirmation from the Delco Union Hall for reserving the hall on October 3rd. I think that's Saturday for the entire day. Our last day in the Word, our last Sunday day in the Word will be in September, around September 26th or 27th. And so we were looking at the following week, the following weekend, right before October 7th, we were not able to get Sunday, but we were able to get Saturday. So please keep that in mind. All, of course, are invited to the Delco Fellowship Hall for a Saturday day in the Word on October 3rd. More details will follow. We'll let you know what time things will start and so forth a little later on. But just keep that in mind for right now. Okay. At this point, we're going to go to our first caller tonight. Welcome to our Tuesday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, Chris. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord, thy God, but those things which are revealed belongs unto us. And I would like to tie that in with Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, why God chose and predestinated his elect before the foundation of the world is explained by the Bible as according to the good pleasure of his will. But God doesn't tell us specifically why it's his good pleasure, and I know he doesn't have to. But perhaps those are some of the secret things that belong unto the Lord that God might reveal to his elect throughout the ages to come in eternity. But this age, Chris...
Well, yeah, you referred to Deuteronomy 29, and let me read that again.
Right.
secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, I can tell you what a secret thing is. A secret thing that belongs to God is his eternal nature. How is it possible that there is such a being as God? How is it possible that there is this good and loving and merciful and gracious and kind, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing being, such as God, who is eternal without a beginning and has no ending? Right away we want to think, well, where'd he come from? Well, he didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. He's the great right. I am. And we don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. We're creatures of time. We think in terms of beginning and endings, and we think that way with one another, with the world, with everything. We just can't grasp the idea of a being that has always been, and it warps our mind a little bit to even try and think about it. When we try to think of going back into eternity past and traveling into the depths of that eternal past, and all we can picture is sort of like a vague space, and you go and go and go and go and go, and you never reach the beginning point. You just keep traveling, 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 and we can't understand it. We also cannot understand how God is one God, but three persons. We know it's true, just like we know it's true, God is eternal, but it's beyond us. It's too high for us. We're different. We're one person. We're not two, three. We're just one. And so God's being is a secret thing to us in many ways. And so we'll learn about the being of God, the person of God, in eternity future. And certainly there are just incredible, rich, bountiful blessings that await us that are way beyond our imagination or ability to conceive, and they could also be considered secret things. But God says the secret things belong to him, but the things which are revealed belong to us. They belong to us and to our children forever. And that's the problem when the church tries to tell the child of God, you cannot know the day or hour. It's a secret thing. And the child of God is looking at the biblical calendar of history, and we're looking at the biblical pattern where God foretells and gives advance information to Noah, Abraham, Lot, and Jeremiah, and Daniel, and Jonah. And we see the statements of the Bible that the wise will understand. We look at all the information that God has revealed to us. And then we see how perfectly the biblical calendar falls into place concerning the Great Tribulation and Judgment Day, May 21. And October 7th, 2015. And so we have to say to those that say this is a secret thing, sorry, this is ours. This belongs to us. That's why we continually reject the church's erroneous doctrine of no man knows the day or hour. They're trying to take away something God has given to his people. He has granted us understanding and knowledge, increased knowledge as he opened up the scriptures, and the church, because in actuality, they are not the people of God. They are not the wise that understand, but rather the wicked that fail to understand. They are not spiritual, but natural minded. And so because it's hidden from them, they conclude it's hidden from God's elect. And that's not the case in any way. It belongs to us. All the things that God has revealed in this time, a very trying time, but a wonderful time insofar as divine revelation or the righteous revelation of the judgment of God is concerned, because God has opened up so many things to the understanding of his people. They belong to us. They are God's blessings to us. He has granted us insight into these things, and so, yeah, we're going to maintain these things as these mysteries as faithful stewards. We're going to continually search the Bible regarding them and try to learn all we can. You have a point that there are some things to come, things that come that are secret at this point, and God's person certainly a secret. But as far as the opening of the scriptures and the many things the Lord has revealed to us, they do belong to us. But thank you
for
calling and sharing. And let's go to the next person
on the
phone. Welcome to our question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Thank you for the lesson, Mr. McCann. I have a question regarding it, and it has to do with 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19.
1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit.
Isn't the real source of everything the Spirit in us would enable us to, as the lesson taught, ought to pray? But the command here is without ceasing. And the first command, rejoice evermore. I don't live forevermore, but God in me does live forevermore. So isn't the Spirit in us the real source of our prayer life to enable us to fulfill these commands?
Yes. We didn't get a chance in the study to go a little bit further with that word ought. For instance, if we go over to Romans chapter 8, in Romans 8, God uses that word. Let's see, where's that at? In verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There it is again. How'd it go in Luke 18? Let me make sure I say it right. In Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that's what we ought to do. That's what we must do. We ought to pray. And now God is speaking to that. Here in Romans 8:26, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God commands us, pray without ceasing. You ought always to pray and not to faint. And we don't know even what we ought to pray for, and let alone praying continually without ceasing as the Lord commands. But the Spirit of God within us helps, and the Spirit of God assists, and the Spirit makes intercession for us. And intercession, we've heard of intercessory prayer. Well, that's the idea. It's as though the Spirit steps in our place, and where we should be praying to God, the Spirit that indwells the child of God — it's not true of an unsaved person, only a child of God — the Spirit that indwells that person offers up prayers with groanings that cannot be uttered. And then he that searches the hearts, which is God, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and he receives this intercession for the saints. And it's all according to the will of God. So, yeah, it's true that the Holy Spirit helps us, but it's also true that there is a command from God to us. And, you know, it would be not a good thing or a wise thing at all for someone to say, well, you know what? The Holy Spirit in me prays in my stead, so I'm not going to bother. I can't pray without ceasing, so I'm not going to pray. As with all things, we are led by the Spirit and moved by the Spirit to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And so we make our effort to repent or to believe or to pray and or to examine ourselves, and our effort is at best feeble, and it's nowhere near perfection. And then God helps. We're saved by the faith of Christ. God grants repentance of heart by giving us a new heart. God himself searches us, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and offers up the prayer we should be offering. And so, yes, God is our comforter and our great helper. God is a very present help in times of trouble. And sometimes in trouble, we're so troubled that we might just be crying or we can't even think straight, but the Holy Spirit could be groaning on our behalf at times like that.
Oh, and a great example is the Holy Spirit enabling us to understand spiritual things. So at the present time, we know to pray that he has had mercy so that he would have mercy on others. We wouldn't know that, but the Spirit helping us understand the Scripture, now we can pray as we ought. Perfect example, right?
Yes, it is a good example. It's actually an amazing thing that when we entered into this period of time, nobody planned any of this. No man did anyway. We had no idea. We just learned from the Bible. All right. No more salvation. And then questions arise. Well, what about prayer? We always prayed for everyone. Don't we pray for people now? And then the Bible provided the answer. Yes, you pray, but you pray laying out the whole situation. And you can still pray for people or pray for someone who is in the church that the cup might pass from them. It's just amazing that God has really provided answers for these questions that we didn't even know that these sort of difficulties would exist prior to May 21 because we didn't think we'd be here. No one, the elect were never considering living on the earth in the day of judgment, but it does illustrate or show that when God starts providing answers like that, where we can go to the Bible and we can say, well, yes, we still desire the best for people because we pray that God might have had mercy before he shut the door, or we still desire the best for someone who is in the church and bundled as a tare for the burning because the Lord Jesus gives us the example in the Garden of Gethsemane that when he was drinking the cup of wrath, that you can pray that the cup pass from you. And so that covers every possible scenario that we still pray. And that's one thing that I'm hoping will shine through in the study of Luke 18 in this passage of men ought always to pray and not to faint in that parable is that how gracious God is to permit prayer at this time. When we think of our old understanding and the church's current incorrect understanding of hell and judgment day, it was just always a fearful, terrible thing, full of wrath, eternal suffering. And there was no prayer. There was no prayer, but here are God's people praying as they go through their manifestation of their judgment. And it's very similar to what we read of Jonah's experience in the whale's belly, as Jonah was a type of the Lord Jesus. And Christ, when he entered into the world and demonstrated the things he did from the foundation of the world, he showed us that he went through the 3 days and three nights, beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Thursday evening, he went through the wrath of God praying. Let me read from Jonah chapter 2, because Jonah's experience really is illustrating what Jesus did when Christ suffered the wrath of God. It says in Jonah 2 verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto Jehovah his God out of the fish's belly. That here's Jonah in the whale's belly. And Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That is, Christ will be under the wrath of God praying. And it's an example to us. It's a pattern we're following, we're filling up the suffering of Christ, and we're also following his example. As we go through Judgment Day, we're praying. The people of God are praying their way through. Just as Jonah prayed in the whale's belly in verse 2 and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto Jehovah, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. That is, the prayer was received. And it goes on to say in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of Jehovah. He prayed his way through, offering up thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, God tells us in Philippians 4, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God it goes on. But we see the example set for us. God's people are praying, and I'm sure many have prayed fervently and not quite continually without ceasing, but often praying for wisdom, praying for guidance, praying for help to get through these days. And as God put the fire to us and tests us all the more, well, the typical reaction of a believer is to go to God in prayer and just ask for help. But thank you for calling and sharing. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Tuesday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Good evening, Brother Chris. Just want to say, I've been listening to you for couple of years, and I give the Lord great thanks, giving me that opportunity to be under your teaching. I just want to say, we're less than 30 days, and I truly, truly look up to you as a brother in the spiritual sense. And when I called you Brother Chris, I sincerely mean it on the highest level. I just want to say this. I just had a conversation with someone who called me, and they asked me about another group teaching, which I was not aware of. And then I promised the person I was going to look it up, and I did look it up. And I just want to say that I'm sticking E-Bible Fellowship. The Lord has led me here, and you have been, ministry has been very instrumental in my spiritual walk, and I'm very thankful. And I'm speaking with you and the ministry to the end.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to thank you for calling and sharing. If you had more to say, please go ahead.
Yeah, I have, today I was reading Micah, and if you can look at verses 6 through 10. Chapter 4, verses 6 to 10.
Oh, chapter 4. Okay. Micah 4, verse 6. In that day, saith Jehovah, will I assemble her that halteth. The Hebrew word translated assemble is Strong's number 622, and it's the word for gather. It's the word like when you gather in the harvest. Will I gather her that halteth? And I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And Jehovah shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There Jehovah shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies.
The reason I looked at this earlier today, and then when you teach tonight about praying, and I was trying to relate, you know, the travail, you know, the pain, the trials that people go through, going through these days, which causes them to pray more. I was, you know, I'm asking, you know, can this in some way tie in to that?
Well, the woman, the daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, notice it says in verse 10, she shall go forth out of the city and shall dwell in the field. The city would be the corporate church, Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem. The field is the world. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. Remember the command, come out of Judea, go into captivity in Babylon.
Yeah.
And we understood that spiritually, come out of the church, go to the world, the field. And there shalt thou be delivered. There Jehovah shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. God is speaking of the elect, that are like a woman in travail who delivers. And what's in view, I think, can be seen in Psalm 139. In this interesting psalm, God speaks of the elect being wrought like a baby in the womb. He says in verse 13 of Psalm 139, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now, it doesn't fit David, as King David was moved to write the psalm. Was he formed in his mother's womb and made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth? No, but who was made that way was the body of believers, the whole company of the elect in Christ. When Christ at the foundation of the world, and this would be another proof verse showing that Jesus did die for sins at that point. And when he did, it was as though the elect child was conceived. The body of Christ, as God views everyone that he saves as part of that one body, the point of conception is when Christ paid for the sins of each one of them at the foundation of the world. That brought them into existence in a figure. It guaranteed that they would live and become this body. And so it goes on to say in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. That's the Lamb's book of life that we read about in the book of Revelation. All the members, all the individuals, all the elect have their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here, it's as though David, again, is speaking of his body as it's formed in his mother's womb. But the language cannot apply to him. It must be the elect, as it goes on, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That Christ, his own arm brought salvation of the people. There were none with him. And so that's where the figure of a baby comes into view concerning the elect. And that's why, with, Sarah in Isaiah 54, Sarah, who's a type, a mother of the elect, it says in Isaiah 54, verse 1, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Jehovah." And that would be the children of the desolation of the great tribulation period was a time of desolation, and yet God saved the great multitude. And so more were the children of the desolation period than the children of the married wife, which would have to tie in with the first fruits that were saved during the church age. And so there were more saved at that point. But again, God is speaking of travailing with a child. And in Micah 6, the woman delivers. The woman delivers in Babylon because it was during that period of great tribulation, the great multitude became saved out in the field in Babylon, and brought forth finally when the last one of the elect became saved, the last member whose name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life was found, the last sheep, and then the baby was formed completely, ready to be delivered. And so in a sense, all the elect are part of this child that has come into being because everyone to be saved was saved.
Okay.
But thank you.
Well, thank you. It's obviously it's complicated. I'll have to listen to it again to get the full gist of what you just said. But thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for calling and sharing. And I think at this point we'll conclude our program. Please join us again tomorrow night. Now, Lord willing, we're going to go Monday through Friday now, 9:30 till 10:15, or possibly to 10:30. But Monday through Friday. And right now, it is being advertised on Facebook. And, not sure how well that's going to do. We're advertising the phone number and the time, to the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. So we'll see. That's something that we can all pray for, that the Lord might direct one of his sheep to find us in this way. But for now, I'll say good night. I hope everyone has a good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
And thanks for joining us again for eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time with your speaker, Chris McCann. You can join us for these questions and answers sessions Sunday afternoons following the Sunday studies, and Monday through Friday evenings following the Monday through Friday studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.